Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. The American Council on Exercise is working to achieve long-term healthy change in communities everywhere. They are the largest nonprofit health and fitness certification, education, and training organization in the world. They are also advocates for achieving health through physical activity and other lifestyle changes. Joining us this morning is American Council on Exercise spokesperson, author, certified health coach and personal trainer, and owner of Monumental Results in Mission Hills, Chris Dobroselski. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Let's start with a little background information on the American Council on Exercise, also known as ACE, right?
Correct. So ACE is a certifying organization that's located here in San Diego, California, although they have their hands across the globe and certainly across the United States in a very significant way. ACE, their primary goal is to help people move or get people moving, and they do that through a number of different primary pushes. The first is to bring health and fitness professionals into the healthcare system. So they're trying to get certified pros linked into our healthcare system so that people can get boots on the ground kind of help. Another thing that ACE does is certify professional fitness instructors, group instructors, personal trainers, health coaches, with the aim of giving them the highest standard of education to go out and do a good service to our public. Similarly, ACE also advocates to the public through governmental agencies all the way up to Washington. ACE gets its hand in some of those big bills to try to promote health, fitness, and making it more of a mainstream topic, relying more on prevention rather than getting involved at a later date through the primary medical system. And then lastly, just educating the public. ACEfitness.org is a great fitness place to get good scientific information that's user-friendly on how-tos from basic exercise patterns to nutritional guidelines and these sorts of things. So they have their hands on a number of things and do it in a very meaningful and practical way.
So what's the mission then of ACE?
Very simply stated, to get people moving.
That's it.
Yep, movement matters. You know, small steps, getting started, building into more significant progression models. Yeah, we are a culture that sits too much. Outside of this interview right now, you don't catch me sitting too much. I stand at my desk most of the time. We are a culture that sits and that drives and tend to be stagnant in a lot of ways. That's good sometimes intellectually, but not good for the body, which ultimately isn't good for the mind or the spirit as well. So ACE is trying to encourage people through a variety of ways to get up and get moving in a safe and intelligent way.
Now, you are a spokesperson for ACE. You're also an author, certified health coach, and personal trainer.
Yes, I am, as well as a certified strength and conditioning specialist.
How about a little background on you besides these titles?
Sure.
Have you been doing this pretty much most of your life then?
I've been involved as a fitness coach since 1988. My first job was in college back on the East Coast. And over the last 30 years or so, just about, I've worked at the elementary level, at the high school level, at the junior college level, at the university level. I was a head strength and conditioning coach at University of California, San Diego, as well as a faculty staff wellness instructor there. And I've been in private practice now for over 15 years. Movement is my vehicle to make a meaningful difference in the world. It's how I connect with people, how I encourage people, and hopefully inspire some folks.
And you're also owner of Monumental Results, right?
Yeah, Monumental Results is here in San Diego, our headquarters, and it is a kind of a boutique health and fitness studio. I work with everyone from cancer, AIDS, and stroke patients to professional athletes and Olympic athletes and Olympic hopefuls. All of the programming comes out of the same sort of mold, which is my motto: small, consistent change over a significant period of time leads to monumental results. And that's how we approach all of those tasks, one individual at a time.
So the American Council on Exercise offers certifications for trainers, right?
Yes, they do.
Just for trainers?
Well, no, a number of different actually kind of health fitness opportunities are available through the American Council. So personal trainers continues to be the largest number of certified pros that ACE kind of endorses and takes through the rigors. In total, we have over 60,000 certified pros. That would include certified personal trainers, health coaches, group fitness instructors, and then a number of kind of smaller, kind of unique little fitness titles that get people access to different populations, special populations.
And does ACE offer any kind of workshops or anything like that?
They do. Acefitness.org. Go there. There's lots of cool things on that site. How-tos on exercise and nutrition. But also there are a number of free webinars and free kind of info models that are periodically put out. They're typically live, although a lot of those are also archived. You can get them on the site. And that a great deal of that stuff is available to the public. So you can get in and really get your hands on some of the latest scientific ideas, always put out in a way that people can grasp and kind of get their hands around. Some topics are more geared towards the certified pros. But most of that stuff really is user-friendly for the public to go and get some free continuing education.
So, it's not just for trainers. It's for the average Joe.
Correct.
Now you mentioned advocacy.
Yes.
A big part of what ACE is all about. ACE seeks public policies that will reverse the epidemic of inactivity by making physical activity more accessible and abundant. How is ACE doing that?
ACE is trying to get people moving, as I indicated earlier, as a primary goal. And they have developed a number of collaborative partnerships with corporations, with civic institutions like the YMCA. ACE has partnered with the YMCA to improve and have an impact on certain programs and models that YMCA staff are now introducing to their clientele. They're introducing safe practice policies to gyms and civic institutions like WISE, stuff with Boys and Girls Clubs, other civic groups that advocate an intelligent approach to movement. So by getting their hands in community organizations, getting their hands in legislation that's being written that advocate for more corporate wellness opportunities, that advocate for a variety of types of things that people really, unless it's in front of them, sometimes if it's too difficult for people to get moving, if they're not getting it at work, if they're not having access to a gym, through these partnerships, ACE is lowering the level of entry for people to get moving. So, again, certain health clubs they have partnerships with that now are providing more things for their members that weren't being provided before.
And I know that inactivity is a big problem in our society nowadays. And in fact, I had the American Heart Association on not too long ago, and we talked about that as well, how people are just not moving enough.
Being sedentary really is a crippling force in our culture right now. And the sad part is the more sedentary we get, the bigger we get. In a very real way, the stresses on the body increase. And so that in turn makes it more difficult and discouraging to get people moving. So that's why ACE has really streamlined what they're trying to do in that mission statement, is keeping it simple, getting people going. ACE believes in momentum. You know, as an ACE product myself, I'm all for that too. Habit is far more powerful than willpower. So through these agendas, and through the materials they're putting out, and through the people, the certified pros that they're inspiring, what's happening is we're getting people to think about logical behavior changes, taking small steps to affect that, and then creating some long-lasting habits that change the quality and the longevity of one's life.
And talking now about behavior change, that's another thing, a very big part of ACE and advocating for healthier lives, especially when it comes to obesity.
Indeed.
And obesity is a risk factor as far as type 2 diabetes, isn't it?
It's the most prevalent risk factor. About 90% of the people with type 2 diabetes are overweight or obese. So more so than ethnic background, more so than family history, more so than gender, more so than pregnancy, some other risk factors. Obesity and or overweight are directly linked to that type 2 diabetes, which is a lethal and very, very sad and debilitating disease.
And I read a statistic from the Center for Disease Control that back in 2012, 27 million Americans were identified as having type 2 diabetes.
Which you can imagine that number is higher now. That is a correct figure. And they also estimate in that same time period, somewhere between 8 and 10 million people are undiagnosed with type 2 diabetes. In the beginning onset of that disease, a lot of those symptoms that people may get can be very vague. Some of the nerve issues, some of the extremity issues. Oftentimes it's when people get hospitalized for other things that they identify that, oh, indeed, they have type 2 diabetes, which is often why the people are in the emergency room or seeing their primary care physician in the first place.
What are some of the physical dangers of type 2 diabetes?
Sure. Perhaps the most significant physical danger is coronary heart disease. So somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% of people that have type 2 diabetes end up dying from heart disease. So that's a staggering and frightening number. Loss of limb, not at all uncommon because of some of those nerve issues. Blindness, not at all uncommon. Organ failure, kidneys most typically, very common for people with type 2 diabetes, which is one of the typical fatalities that come out of that mm-hmm. disease, very significant. Some smaller, though, can be very troubling things. Skin issues, amongst other things, can also be symptoms and outcomes of the type 2 diabetes. Those are all, you know, tangible. We can list those. They're very real for the folks that suffer and deal with those. But before the death comes, before the dismemberment comes, the loss of a limb, what you see is a decrease in people's ability to live full lives. Energy goes down, fatigue is up, high rates of depression. So people may not link the depression or the fatigue or the lackluster feelings with the fact that they have type 2 diabetes, but they are absolutely consequences in part of the disease. So life quality goes down. And quality of life is especially while you're living is every bit as important as some of those broader things that we certainly want to avoid.
And I read on your website on ACE's website that staying active may lower a person's chance of getting heart disease, stroke, some cancers, type 2 diabetes, and other conditions. How much physical activity are we talking about?
I can, spout off a few things that come out of the Center for Disease Control and some other governing bodies. You know, with kids, we're talking about 60 minutes a day every day. So, you know, kids between the ages of 1 and 18, we want to see those young folks moving playing for an hour a day. Ideally, a couple times during that same week, we want to see our kids doing some kind of strength training. Now, they don't need to come to Monumental Results and hire me, though I welcome them to do that. They can do push-ups, and they can do sit-ups or abdominal crunches. They can do pull-ups at the gym. They can get involved in some of the free-type tumbling gymnastics-type classes. They can get involved with city swim programs, which is a form of resistance training. But we do want to see our kids getting some kind of resistance besides just that general aerobic activity that they get on the playground about twice a week. The other thing is we do want to see our kids on their feet running and jumping at least a couple times a week. It really has a significant impact on their bones and on their joints and on their muscles, so we have to expose them to some of that stress. A lot of that happens naturally for kids that are lucky enough to be in the environment where they can do that. But for those that are restricted with safe places to play or too much concrete, you know, that can be a problem. Hour a day for kids with some strength training and some moving and jumping. For adults, we talk about 150 minutes a week. Now, this is the small end, okay? Mm-hmm. It's fantastic if people are getting those 150 minutes. That's a great start. You can get them in as little as 10-minute increments. So a brisk walk, hopping on an exercise bike, climbing the stairs like I did here today. It wasn't 10 minutes. It was about 2 or 3 minutes. We are on the seventh floor. But for adults, what we're shooting for is a minimum of 150 minutes a day, similarly to our kids, with a couple of days, ideally, of some resistance training, some strength training. Again, think pulling, pushing, bending, squatting in the gym or out in nature. But that resistance training is different than that kind of low to moderate level aerobic, and it is important for being durable and certain longevity issues. What the CDC actually advocates is more like 300 minutes. 150? Terrific. You can do the math on that. 2.5 hours, I suppose. 300 minutes, break that down on a daily basis, it's far less formidable. 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week, that type of a thing. Not doing the math here, thinking out loud. But the idea that getting something in most days in that moderate activity range is very positive. You can, at whatever number you pick, you can kind of cut that number scientifically in half if the exercise is very rigorous. Now, I don't advocate cutting the number in half if you're enjoying rigorous activity. Most people can comfortably handle 30 to 60 minutes 4 to 5 days a week with no problems. And there's more caloric burn, a better sense of completion at the end of the workout, higher fitness payback. But for those that are struggling, keeping that lower bar in mind, 150 minutes, 10 minutes at a time, building towards 300 minutes more gradually, this is a fantastic start. With some kind of strength training built in there once or twice a week, now you're talking about fortifying bones, fortifying joints, and of course the superficial muscle as well.
What about other, besides exercise, physical activity, what other behavioral changes can people make for a healthier life?
And I think it is important to talk about movement because so many good things happen when we move. Not just burning calories, not just lowering risk factors, not just improving sense of euphoria and positive natural hormones flowing. All kinds of things happen when we move. But to talk about improving one's health without mentioning nutrition would really be a faux pas, because what you put into your body in simple, rational ways can really have a monumental impact on your all-around health, well-being, enthusiasm, mental and physical health, I would say. So thinking about nutrition, keeping it simple. You know, I can give you, go to ACE's website, let me say. There's recipes, there's some guidelines and some things that are really healthy. But I always like to speak to people that are in the trenches really struggling, trying to get their feet on the ground to make some forward progress. Maybe someone who's lost weight and then put the weight back on and done that a number of times. It's a very demoralizing process. So begin at the beginning with some simple things. Number one, let's start cutting back on the things that we just know aren't good. So if you're drinking a lot of soda, a lot of fruit juices, things that are high in sugar, certainly a lot of fast food and processed foods, let's start by cutting back. And, you know, we don't have enough time to go into those details, but start by cutting back, cutting it in half. You know, if you drink 2 cans of soda a day, let's cut back to 1, and let's do that for a month. Let's do that for 2 to 3 weeks. If you're eating out fast food 2 to 3 days a week, let's cut it back to once a week. You know, so starting with some, again, and that's not easy for some people that are on the run, that are having jobs that don't find them at home or can't take a lunch pail, but it's important. And then we move forward in that. So then what? Well, then we want to think about eating more simple, wholesome meals. So we want to think about more home-cooked meals, less eating out. We want to definitely think about more vegetables. We want to think about more fruits in the diet. We want to think about lean proteins in the diet, more good fats in the diet, nuts and seeds and these kinds of things. So we go from the basics, cutting back on fast food and sugars and processed food and eating out, to thinking, okay, what is a day in your life going to look like if you are to have a pretty good nutrition plan in place? And each plate that you eat, regardless of where you're at, fast food or not, let's think about getting that plate more green. Let's think about getting that plate more brown with whole grains and dark rooted vegetables. Let's think about some good lean proteins in every meal, whether that's fish or lean chicken or pork, or if you're doing that through a vegetarian mechanism, but being attentive to that. And then replacing some of those saturated fats and some of the ice creams and the heavier fats and with good fats, you know, avocado, good cooking oils like olive oil, nuts and seeds in most settings. And when you start getting this blend, meal in and meal out, more of it, right? Not perfection, but improvement. When you start getting that in on a daily basis, there's a really empowering thing goes down. One is the scale.
Yeah.
Energy goes up. Enthusiasm goes up. Lack of ambition goes away. And you start to build what we talked about earlier, that momentum. So not with an aim of perfection, but with an aim of improvement, you can really start to see some wonderful health improvements.
And you mentioned the fact of, you know, people who lose a bunch of weight and then put it back on, which is the case in my situation. You know, several years ago, I lost a bunch of weight, put it all back on. Of course, working at the fair doesn't help me any with all that fried food. But I think in this day and age and in such a fast-paced society, it's just so hard sometimes to even change your behavior, like you were saying, you know, to get into that groove.
To get started.
Yeah.
Right? And that's
the motivation.
You bet. And that's where, you know, I'm so proud to represent the American Council on Exercise, and I'm so proud to sort of fly the flag that I do at my clinic, because we are about making those small steps to move people in the right direction, because that's how momentum is built and that's how winning is done in the long run. Unfortunately, the opposite is true. People think that, for example, people think that the holidays are a big culprit in weight gain each year.
Right.
Well, in some ways that's true. In other ways, it's simply not. Typically, it's about 1 to 3 pounds is what's gained by some people over the holidays, those that are gaining weight. And in some amount of time, a lot of those people take the weight off. But there's another part of that population that does not take off that 1 to 3 pounds each year. They put on a couple of pounds. It's just one month season, right? However, that month season comes every year. So if we think about 10 years out, 2 pounds a year, nothing else in the discussion, you've got a lot of Americans up 20 pounds because of what they do in December. So that's, you know, that's the part that we're working against, because that's easy to understand and it's tough. The good news is the reverse course is done the same way. It doesn't come by dropping 10 pounds in a month necessarily, though some people can do that quite healthily, but it more comes from that half a pound to 2 pounds per week by making some of those simple shifts, those very vague ones, general ones that I gave. And again, I do want to send people over to ACE's site for the nutrition piece, because it'll give them more practical information. But again, that's how those changes happen. And that's the good news.
And any advice on how to get that motivation, how to get yourself going to do some of those things we just talked about?
I think the power of visualization is very important. So having an idea of what you'd like your life to look like, how you'd like to feel in the morning. Hopefully you've had a sense, you know, hopefully the listener has had a sense for that at times in life. Hey, if you have to go back to high school or college, or in your 20s to when that, you know, when you were feeling rather well, so be it. Take the mind back there. But plug in. Hopefully folks have had some more recent successes. Plug in. Remember how good it felt to wake up rested. Remember how good it felt to go on a long walk with your spouse, and conjure up those feelings. And in the moment of choice, right, we want to try to connect to that. Now that's much easier said than done, mm-hmm. but having a vision for where you want to go really does, you know, kind of guide people in that process. And on those days where you fall short and you wake up and you make some nutritional choices that you're not so proud of and don't feel so good about, and perhaps follow that up with more nutritional choices at lunch. At the end of that day, also kind of connect how that feels. And those, that intellectual moment, depending on how people learn, can be very, very powerful. And so I think plugging into where you want to go is a very powerful tool. And one last thing, if I may, and that is keeping in mind, at the end of the day, the cognitive piece is important, but more important than the choices is setting up a lifestyle through small changes. I'm going to exercise 3 days a week for 20 minutes. That's a start. I'm going to eat breakfast every day and cut my fast food in half, et cetera, et cetera. And sticking to things that become consistent and become habitual is a far more powerful method to get to your end goal than it is day in and day out confronting the demons of fast food and lethargy.
You have to get yourself into a certain mindset.
This is how it's going to be. Keep the goals small and manageable. Successive approximations. Little steps that are successful lead and give way to consistency and lead way to habit and more success. That's where we want to live. Just the next meal in front of you, the next day in front of you, and what you'll find is that you can link those successful pieces. And again, that is how winning is done.
And I think that's a great point, you know, the small steps, because a lot of people don't think that way. At least I don't. I never did.
No.
You know, you're looking at the overall picture,
yeah.
And sure, that's one thing you want to look at because that's your goal. But again, small steps.
Yeah, a vision for where you want to go, which might be grand, might want to lose 25 pounds,
uh-huh.
And yet a weekly meal plan that can be very basic, that is 7 days laid out, and you do it on Sunday night. For those that are struggling even more, it's what are my 3 meals today and what are my snacks? Am I making my lunch pail in the morning? But a vision for where you want to go and then grounded right where you're at right now with a focus and a heart piece to that goal.
And I think for people like myself, older folks, a little more difficult because you're set in your ways. So it's a little more difficult to make those behavioral changes.
It is. You know, repetition is a powerful thing. And my encouragement to people is, it is from the negative side and from the challenging side. And the good news is you do any one constructive thing more than a couple of times, it is in the process. Some would say 3 times it has become a habit, or it's in the process of becoming a habit. And that's where that hope lies, because it can be turned around just as solidly as it can go the other way.
Any advice for anybody listening this morning who might be thinking of becoming a health coach or personal trainer?
I would say that being a certified health professional is one of the best jobs on the planet. You spend your days helping people improve their lives, guiding people, mentoring people. You don't need to have all the answers to be a certified personal trainer, health coach, for example. What you need is a commitment to the academic background to, you know, do your studies and take the test, and a determination to get that done, and then connecting to your passion, which is helping people improve the quality of their life. And research after research after research project shows that people in those helping fields are having higher quality of life, high quality of work lives than virtually any other professions, commonly coming in number one or number two. Pay's going up, quality of work's going up. We live in a country that's challenged with health issues, and like ACE's mission to bring health and fitness into our healthcare system, you're going to see that more and more covered under health plans, health coaches covered under health plans. You're going to see more vehicles for personal trainers to get more traditional kind of 40-hour week jobs.
And any final advice for anybody listening this morning that's working towards that healthier lifestyle?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. If you're listening to this show and you feel like you've tried a lot of things and they haven't worked, if you feel like you've tried a bunch of times and failed again, I will tell you that it is worth getting yourself up off of the couch, putting down the Coca-Cola, and getting in touch perhaps with a certified professional, going to the ACE website. You certainly can check out my website. You can pick up a book at the library, but it's worth it. Regardless of where you are right now, you should know that change can happen, and it will happen through small, consistent behavior shifts. And you can't even imagine how good it'll feel when you turn the corner on those health issues. And we are here cheering for you, and it's worth it.
And you mentioned your website, ACE website, many times, and I have been to the website. A lot of great stuff there, a lot of great information and resources.
You bet.
And the website again?
Acefitness.org.
And is ACE on social media?
Oh, yeah. Yep. ACE is on social media. They have a Facebook page. They're on Twitter. They're very active. I think I've linked to them on my site. My site is monumentalresults.com. You can get there that way. Yeah, get involved. Plug in. So, again, those folks that are kind of wanting to get some grounding, plug in and start paying attention to what some of those thinkers and doers are doing. I think you'll find it very inspiring.
Chris, thank you so much for being on the show today. I appreciate it. I appreciate you shedding some light on some very important issues, health issues. And thanks for all you do at the American Council on Exercise.
You're welcome.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Join me next week when my guest will be from the new Prostate Center of San Diego. Until then, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week.